This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome to this edition of White Sox Weekly, Saturday, February 15th. As I said last week at this time, when we talked at this time next week, pitchers and catchers would have already reported, and indeed they did earlier this week for the White Sox. On Wednesday, pitchers and catchers reported on February 12th, and of course, we had an opportunity to listen to Chris Getz meet the media. I'll bring you a lot of what the White Sox general manager had to say. We'll let you hear from new manager Will Venable as well, who met the media. We're also going to check in with Scott Merkin of MLB.com. He's covered the White Sox for over 20 years. He'll join us later in the show. We'll take a look around baseball as well, some of the latest insights that you may not be all caught up on because, of course, the football season and the Super Bowl just wrapped up this week. So we'll get you all caught up on what you need to know around baseball as well on this version of White Sox Weekly. I am Jeff Meller on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. White Sox fans, cover your bases with the new ballpark pass. For a limited time, get access to every home game in March. That's right, every home game, April and May. So not just March, April and May. Your ballpark pass includes tickets to opening day and exclusive giveaways celebrating the unforgettable moments, legendary players, and iconic eras that have shaped the 125-year legacy. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/ballpark pass. So go check that out. Be in the ballpark for every home game, March, April, and May. It is a fantastic deal for baseball fans and, of course, White Sox fans. All right, getting you up to date on the latest regarding your White Sox. White Sox signed Joey Gallo, outfielder, first baseman, all-around slugger, on Thursday evening to a minor league contract, which includes a non-roster invite to spring training. Listen, I know that Joey Gallo at times has been somebody, listen, he's going to strike out. There's no doubt about that. But what he is not is your stereotypical three true outcome player, because usually when you say three true outcome guy, a lot of times you think, okay, that's somebody who you have to stick at first base or a DH and has no ability to play the field. That is not the case with Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo has won two gold gloves in his career. He has manned center field at times throughout his career. And in addition, as I said, he is a slugger. He has, to his name, a 40 home run season, a 41 home run season, a 38 home run season. So Joey Gallo is somebody who can play the field, give you, you know, I don't know if we're still going to say gold glove caliber defense, but he's won a couple of gold gloves in his day. So he is somebody who can give you adequate defense at the very least and some big pop. Again, it's a minor league invite, so we'll see what happens. There's no guarantees by any means, but he'll be entering his age 31 season. So that's the type of player that I love to make a bet on if I'm a Major League Baseball team, because if things go well, we're not going to lie. We all understand what the season is about for the White Sox, some development. But if things go well and Joey Gallo gets off to a good start, somebody who can draw a walk, if he gives you a solid on-base percentage and maybe he has a little batted ball luck and maybe he starts out well and, you know, gets his batting average up to maybe 220 or 230, all of a sudden he's got an on-base percentage near 340 with some big power that plays as well. And he could be a sought-after big bopper at the trade deadline if things go well. So he's somebody who I love the idea of making an upside play on him with the intention and the knowledge that if things do go well, he'd be somebody that Chris Getz would be looking to trade at the trade deadline. But, you know, listen, you can't just play all your top prospects and not have any veteran presence either, because that could be an absolute disaster, and that's exactly what the White Sox are trying to avoid this year. Another player, somebody who probably actually might be a little more impactful but doesn't have necessarily as big a name brand that Joey Gallo does, but Michael A. Taylor was also signed by the White Sox earlier this week. Michael A. Taylor has, for the most part, been a defense-first player. He's had some tough years at the bat, but he has also won a Gold Glove. And he is a really, really excellent center fielder. So he's somebody who I think you could see as a potential late-inning defensive replacement, not just in center, but, of course, with Luis Robert out there manning center field, Taylor could be somebody who you could plug in at the corners as well and really help you for some late-inning defensive value. We also learned from Chris Getz some injury updates. Unfortunately, Kai Bush, the pitcher who was obtained along with Edgar Caro from the Los Angeles Angels last season in the Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez deal, not two seasons ago. Kai Bush underwent Tommy John surgery, so he'll obviously be done for the year. And then, of course, there was some encouraging news regarding Drew Thorpe, who was shut down at the end of the year last year. He had to have the bone spur shave from his elbow back on, I believe his season ended on September 7th of last year. So there was some encouraging news and update from Chris Getz. He had a cortisone shot, Drew Thorpe did, and all things are pointed in the right direction, even though he hasn't gotten out on a mound just yet. But that is encouraging news regarding Drew Thorpe, who, of course, was one of the big pieces that the White Sox got back in the Dylan Cease trade that they made last spring training. Speaking of Chris Getz, here's some interesting things that he had to say when he met the media on Wednesday when the White Sox did report. Chris Getz giving everybody an update on what exactly the White Sox timeline is to being competitive.
You look at our record last year, you know, we want to win more games this year. What exactly is that amount? You know, that time will tell. All I know is from an infrastructure standpoint, from a talent standpoint, we're in a much better place. Player performance will dictate a lot of this, the timeline of where we're more competitive on our major league club. With that being said, you know, you can't get too far in front of yourself. You can't. As an organization, we know where we're at, and we still have a lot of work to do. But I know that, you know, you look at spring training and, you know, we want to have productive days. We want to have purpose. I you don't want to just check boxes. You want to put players in a position where we're challenging them, you know, and challenging them so when they're faced with, you know, some of the what comes with this game, they're ready to go out there and execute. And that's what Will, myself, are looking to create this spring training.
I think a lot of White Sox fans are wondering, now that you've brought Will Venable in to manage the team, will there be noticeable differences throughout the organization? And Chris Getz did address that on Wednesday.
I think so. I mean, I you know, and having, you know, lengthy conversations with Will and the staff, you know, they've got plans to put our players in you know, higher stakes situation in our work. So when, you know, you're faced with game action, whether it be spring training or in the season, you're ready to go. You know, so often I think players, they want their arms to feel good, they want their legs to feel good, they want their swing to feel right. And obviously, that there's a phase of spring training that's really important. But you got to go out there and execute. You got to put these players in position to go out there and perform with what the game gives you. And I think that's going to be one of the bigger things this spring training. So when it comes to opening day, we're ready to really act on every situation.
Sounds like Chris Getz expects that the tone will be set throughout spring training under Will Venable, and no doubt I think White Sox fans will be happy to hear that there should be some noticeable differences this year under Will Venable. However, listen, Chris Getz is also not going to be naive or unrealistic. Even though he's expecting the team to be better, it's not going to come immediately.
I do think we're going to win more games than we did last year. You know, unfortunately, there are going to be some growing pains along the way that you know, at times is going to challenge your emotions. But that's part of the development of some of these players. We need to be patient. And it's hard to do in professional sports because we've got so many competitors out there, you know, on the field on a daily basis. But I do think that it's going to be there's going to be plenty of exciting stories. And a lot of that has to do with the talent that's going to work their way to the major leagues this season.
One more here from Chris Getz before we let you hear from new White Sox manager Will Venable. Chris Getz, of course, I think one of the big questions surrounding the White Sox, and not just the White Sox, but I think a lot of teams around baseball are wondering, what is the status of Luis Robert going to be Is he still going to be with the White Sox on opening day?
Yeah, I mean, the expectation, he's going to be our opening day center fielder. He's had a really productive offseason. We've got to find ways to keep him on the field. And we know what he's capable of doing when he's healthy. And so, you know, we look forward to handling him in a way that he can be on the opening day roster and be the productive player that we're accustomed to seeing.
30 homers, 20 steals, and a Gold Glove caliber defense in center field. We know that is what Luis Robert is capable of if he's healthy. Let's hope that he can get back out there and be that five-tool player that the White Sox have seen, especially back in 2023 when he ushered one of the best recent seasons by a White Sox hitter in recent memory. Will Venable, I mentioned, brand new White Sox manager, was hired this offseason. Chris Getz talked about how he thinks he's setting the tone differently this year. Will Venable was asked, what makes a good spring training camp?
One, supporting the guys to get all the things done that they want to accomplish. I think that certainly the team fundamentals that we have that are important to executing and winning games are things that we need to go out and complete. And then staying healthy, you know. I mean, obviously we have a lot of guys that are going to be important to this thing, and I need them all to be healthy.
And finally, Will Venable was asked, what impact can a manager have on a team?
I think, you know, to be honest, I think I'll continue to learn that. You know, for me today, I think it's just creating a positive environment for these guys to come to every day, and as well as a structure and support to help them do the things they need to do individually. You know, we know that there's going to be a lot going on during the season, but to stay positive and just to make sure that these guys are coming to a place every day that they can feel comfortable and be themselves, I think is a big part of my job.
Very early still, but continue to hear rave reviews about Will Venable. Everybody around baseball thinks that he's going to be a great manager. So good to hear the new voice who will be heading up the White Sox this year have a measured approach, you know, not coming in and guaranteeing that he's going to make sweeping changes and everything's going to be fixed immediately. I think he's taking a measured approach, but that for the long term, I think will be in the White Sox best interest. All right. So there you go. Hearing from the top brass of the White Sox as pitchers and catchers reported on Wednesday. Up next, let's go a little deeper with a man who has covered the White Sox for over 20 years, Scott Merkin, who covers the White Sox for Major League Baseball. .com will join me next right here on White Sox Weekly.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Back to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000, your home of the Chicago White Sox. I am Jeff Meller. Stay up to date on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts. Don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Follow at White Sox on social today. Speaking of social media, that is actually how I was informed regarding the White Sox signing of Joey Gallo on Thursday night. From the one and only Scott Merkin, our next guest who will be joining us here on White Sox Weekly. And I have to relay the story because I'm hanging out Thursday night, monitoring my phone, and sure enough, I see Scott Merkin cross my timeline and it says White Sox have signed Joey Gallo to a minor league contract. I've always been a big fan of Joey Gallo. We covered that in the first segment. But what was amusing to me, or maybe not so amusing, but I realized at that moment as I clicked on Scott Merkin's tweet that I actually was not following Scott Merkin on X. Now, I've been consuming Scott Merkin's Twitter feed for at least 5 years. It's one of those ones where just I must consume so much White Sox content that it just follows. It appears in my timeline for you, and I never actually realized it until last night that I haven't been following Scott Merkin, even though I've been having conversations with him on the air on ESPN 1000 for well over 5 years now. So with that introduction, I bring in Scott Merkin, who I am now one of his newest followers on X, at Scott Merkin, who has been covering the White Sox, obviously, for MLB.com for a long, long time. Scott, happy spring training, my man.
How you doing, Jeff? And I appreciate that. I hope you're reading the articles, too, because that's where I get the money, you know?
Yes. So, no, well, listen, I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's where you get, you know, you throw the links up and I consume all the content. So it was just, I was like, why am I was blown away by the fact that, you know, like I said, it's one of those things where you never know what's coming through your timeline these days. And it just happened that I feel like I see all your tweets. So I didn't even realize it until last night.
I think it's funny when someone does follow you that you like, and I don't really pay that much attention. Like I go look down the followers and who I'm following and be like, oh yeah, this person. But it's funny when someone like you comes up that says you're following me and I'm like, oh, they must have unfollowed me at some point along the way. You just assume everyone follows each other kind of thing.
No,
not the end. I appreciate the explanation, but not the end of the world.
Yeah, no. It was, like I said, because you do give great White Sox content that I'm always following. So
I appreciate that. And just remember though, Michigan and Ohio State men's basketball Sunday, so you may have to mute me on that day because there'll be a lot of Michigan basketball tweets on that day. So
there's a Venn diagram of a good overlap, though, of White Sox fans and a lot of Michigan fans as well, Scott. So I think they'll be okay.
There you go.
We are in Big Ten country, so it's all good. But
exactly.
Scott Merkin is out at spring training watching the White Sox, as pitchers and catchers have reported, as we mentioned earlier. And before we get into some of that stuff, though, maybe I'm a sucker for Joey Gallo. I've always been fond of his game. I know over the last few years there's been some fall off, but, you know, he's had some prodigious power seasons. He's had a couple of 40 home run seasons. He had a 38 home run season in there. He's somebody who is one of those three true outcome players because he strikes out a lot. But unlike your stereotypical thumper, he has had a couple of gold glove outfield performances on his resume. So again, I don't know what to expect from Joey Gallo, but this is the type of veteran presence that I like Chris Getz going out and getting for 1 year to see what happens in this 2025 season when the White Sox can hopefully get some more winning baseball back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I know it was, 16-17 he hit the back-to-back 40 homers of the Rangers, and he hit 38 as recently as 21. Obviously, the last couple seasons have not been great for him, and the power has been down the last couple seasons. And, you know, we saw this last year. They added Mike Moustakas, and everyone thought that was kind of a lock that he was going to make, you know, the roster, and he didn't. So I don't think, you know, the fact that Joey's going to be in camp, position players don't report until the 17th. Although it's funny because we, you know, put out there about how so-and-so's in camp, and almost everyone comes early. A lot of people live out here, you know?
Yeah.
So they come in, do a morning workout, and then go have, you know, enjoy the rest of the day. And it won't be until the 17th, which is what, Monday, right? When, when the position players officially have to be in camp. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, the roster is kind of, it's funny, for as much competition as there is, if you look at kind of the roster permutations, there's not a lot of open spots, you know, especially if they really want to use the DH to run different players through there. Now, again, is Luis Robert here on opening day? You know, how long is Luis Robert with the White Sox if they decide to move him? You know, does Colson Montgomery break as the shortstop for the team on opening day? So there's a lot of things that get factored in there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he does have power. What the power is, we'll see what it is. You know, I mean, it's a non-roster invite. It's a minor league deal, so I'm guessing it's not going to make or break. And like you said, it's something that's worth taking the chance. Now, I will say, and maybe I'm, you know, missing the point on this with the team, this year of the rebuild, the goal was to find out what you have in the prospects, right? Now, again, you can't just go strictly prospects. That's just not going to work. I was just talking to someone else on the field here about, you know, like Martin Perez, great signing, great veteran guy. Really seems to, you know, want to work with the young pitchers and kind of mentor them and, you know, will give you innings. And you can't just, even a guy like Jonathan Cannon, you can't say, well, you went 121 or 100, whatever it was, in his minor league numbers, now go 190 this year. You know, you have to kind of balance things out, and with Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith on the rise. So I get that. But, you know, I think you're worth giving a shot to, you know, every young player that you feel is ready if you're the White Sox. Is it a Tim Elko? Do you want to give Oscar Colas one more shot to see who can do? We know Dominic Fletcher can play Gold Glove caliber center field. Do you want to see if he can hit at the same level? You know, so I understand adding the veterans. I understand, you know, they've added, Chris has targeted good guys overall, which has been the key thing, good clubhouse guys. But I don't think you want to get in the way either of letting the young guys, let the kids play, as they said in Bad News Bears breaking training, right? So
see
what happens as the season goes on there. And again, you don't want to force anyone up there. But I know people have talked in the past about saying, you know, hey, let these guys come up. You know, they're not pictured as anywhere close to a contender this year, at least as of right now. So you know, if they struggle this year, that's fine. They'll learn about the big league life, because there's a huge difference between struggling or being successful in the minors and struggling and being successful in the major leagues. So let them learn a little bit, and then, you know, if it's 26 or even 27, these guys are ready to go and know what they're up against when the time comes to really be a prime team fighting for the AL Central title.
Certainly. Scott Merkin of MLB.com joining me here on ESPN 1000 White Sox Weekly. A couple things you hit on there that I do want to follow up on. Specifically, you mentioned Luis Robert. Of course, Chris Getz met the media the other day as everybody was circling around and greeted them and provided some of his impressions of this season. He did. I know he did say that, you know, the thought is that Luis Robert is going to be the center fielder on opening day for the White Sox.
Right.
What do you think, though, if they got an offer, you know, that maybe had two high-level minor league prospects, do you think what he says now might actually not be the case on opening day?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they said that about Dylan Cease for quite a bit of spring training last year, too, right? They, you know, Pedro Grifol and even Chris, you know, during the times that he talked, said, you know, hey, as of right now, Dylan Cease is, you know, they named him the opening day starter in late January when they had some sort of event in Chicago. So, and then he was traded on, I think it was March 13th to San Diego. So, yeah, I think if the right deal comes in the state they're in and, you know, year two of this latest rebuild, that I think they will move him. Now, I think that, you know, the situation is, what's the return going to be? And you're not going to sell him, that's a terrible choice of words. You're not going to trade him for 50 cents on the dollar. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be like, okay, well, that's the best offer. We'll trade. You're going to hold out for what you believe he's worth value-wise. And if you don't, then you have a really good player to put in center field and kind of lead your offense, right? You have a go. I mean, Luis Robert had one of the more complete seasons that I've covered in 23 years in 2023. And he started off slow that year, actually. He was not very good the first few weeks in April and whatever their, you know, little overlay in March. But he was tremendous. He was an all-star. He put on a show at the Home Run Derby. Gold Glove caliber center fielder, can steal 30 bases, can hit 30 home runs, you know, hits in the 270, 280 range when he's on. Last year, he gets hurt early on. And, you know, they've talked about keeping him fresh. You know, I get that. And that's, I think, one of the ideas behind signing Michael Taylor. But he also hurt himself running around first base last year. You know, it wasn't, and in the first week of the season. So it wasn't like he had dove into the wall five times or had been chasing down balls in the gap for, you know, 3 weeks and then got hurt. It was kind of a fluke thing. He was running around first in Kansas City trying to, you know, take a single into a double. And that's when he had the hip flexor issue. So I think it works on both levels. You know, if you keep him, then maybe he bounces back. Now, the only worry you have, I guess, is if you really are in the back of your mind set on trading him to kind of enhance the process of the rebuild, knowing that he's got 1 year left this year at $15 million and then 2 years left, $20 million each year option with a $2 million buyout. So, you know, do you worry that maybe he gets hurt and that hurts the value a little more? If you know in your mind you're probably not going to pick up the $20 million option for next year. So does that, you know, speed up the process a little bit? So it's an interesting kind of cat and mouse game, but I know, you know, it's going to be the money that, you know, that goes back and forth. And I think it's going to, most of all, it's going to be who they get in return to see whether they move him or not, because it's an awful good, just like Garrett Crochet was an awful good player to have on your side. Luis Robert is the same situation.
Speaking of awful good players, or at least someone the White Sox will hope turn into an awful good player, Colson Montgomery, you mentioned him earlier. I think a lot of White Sox fans are curious if he will indeed break camp as the starting shortstop. Now, when you look at some of the options, there are some options on the roster where you could see that Colson Montgomery might actually have to go back down if they, you know, for a couple weeks. But it does seem like, based on what is in camp right now with the White Sox, that Colson Montgomery, if he comes out and hits and plays a solid defensive shortstop, he will have every opportunity to potentially break the training camp as your opening day starter at shortstop.
Yeah, I think so. I think for Colson, it's more so whether they deem him ready to, you know, make his major league debut on opening day too. You know, will they feel that's going to be a little too much for him? Not so much that someone is going to kind of beat him out for the job. Not that he's, and again, to go one more level, I don't think he's a lock, and I don't think he believes he's anywhere near a lock to, you know, to make team. But, I mean, you really don't have kind of a natural short. You know, Brooks Baldwin can play a little shortstop. Mm-hmm. Josh Rojas has played mostly third and second, even though he's played all over the field in his career. But I'm sure he could play some shortstop. Lenin Sosa's played a little bit of shortstop, right? So there's some options there. But I think, you know, again, he had a rough year overall in Charlotte. he finished strong. I forgot how many games. I think it's like the last 99 at-bats. He hit like 270. And, you know, he found some stuff physically and mentally in handling that slump. And I think he, you know, went back just to focusing on just playing baseball and not worrying about the numbers and not worrying about who he had to prove things to and just playing the game. He's a very talented kid. And I think, you know, that it may be the time to give him the shot. But I think you'll see in spring training. I don't necessarily think it means hitting 450 in spring training, because ultimately, you know, I always joke about no one gets on the stage at Cooperstown and announces, you know, well, I made it here because I hit 360 at Durham that one year. Just as no one gets on stage and says, well, if I didn't hit 420 that year in Glendale or Tucson or Peoria, I'd never be here. You know, I mean, but I think it's going to be the approach he takes at the field and at the plate, and they'll know, you know, Chris and Paul Janish and Josh Barfield and Jin Wong and Gene Watson, the whole front office there, will know whether he's ready to break down, or maybe he needs, you know, a month or 6 weeks in the minors before he comes up.
Scott Merkin joining me here on ESPN 1000 on White Sox Weekly. Scott, what are your thoughts about Andrew Vaughn now, as he's obviously not necessarily lived up to the hype that came with being the third overall pick in his draft? You know, it's been somewhat disappointing, but at this point, when you look around the roster, I think he's one of the cornerstones that the White Sox are hoping can maybe have a breakout season finally.
Yeah, you look at Andrew Vaughn's numbers, and you would think that he was, you know, with some of the talk about him, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course, and everyone has different judgment systems, but you would think that he was, like, hitting, you know, 170 with, like, five home runs every year. You know, I mean, he's probably not hit to the level they thought, and I think that's tied into being the number three pick overall in a draft, right? That you're expected to have elite numbers, you know, like a Bobby Witt or something like that. And I think his numbers have been fine, and I think there's more in there. And I'll tell you, I talked to a lot of people, you know, around the game, just, you know, in the press box or on the field here, or you see him just around town, and they'll tell you they believe in Andrew Vaughn. They believe in his ability. You know, I think he had a kind of a rough start to begin with. He plays this down, but, you know, he started his career as an outfielder, having played like twice in the outfield at the alternate site camp during the COVID year. So that takes a wear and tear on your legs there. And I just think he's a good player. I think he's a good kid, good guy, good player for the team. And I do think there's more in there. You know, I think, unfortunately for him, is if he comes out in April and has a slow start, he'll, you know, if he pays attention to this stuff at all, he'll hear more about, well, he's not living up to his expectations. But I do think he's a talented player. And, you know, it's only been, what, 4 years in the majors, right? So it's a little early to kind of write him off and say, well, he's not going to be an elite-level player. I mean, I don't even know if you need him to be an elite-level player, just probably another level above what he's doing right now.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a fair breakdown. Scott Merkin joining me for another couple minutes here on ESPN 1000. You mentioned earlier Martin Perez, a nice solid signing by Chris Getz.
Sure.
Do you expect Perez to be your opening day starter, or do you think both Jonathan Cannon or Davis Martin could actually get that honor if they pitch well in training camp or spring training?
I think it's an interesting case. It's sort of like last year. You know, I actually got a prediction right last year where I said I thought Garrett Crochet would start. And, you know, Mike Soroka and Eric Fetty were also in that mix. But I thought, you know, both good stories, Soroka and Fetty. Soroka was coming back from, you know, the injury, and Fetty was coming back from Korea. But I thought Crochet had that, like, kind of organization cachet, right? That he fought hard to be a starter. He had a good spring, and they made him the opening day starter. Well, I think, you know, Martin Perez would be a great opening day starter, but I also think that Jonathan Cannon was the best starter they had last year, not named Garrett Crochet, who's still with the team this year. And then Davis Martin's a talented pitcher as well, and a good story. You know, he fought his way back from Tommy John. And last year at this time, I remember being on the backfield watching him throw his first bullpen, and he hit 84, and he was celebrating like he just got the last out of a perfect game, you know?
Yeah.
And that's because he was just so happy to be back throwing off a mound again, you know, and throwing actual bullpens. And he came back last year, and he pitched well, and he's kind of a charismatic, energetic, you know, guy, and I think he'd be a good choice too. I think, you know, Sean Burke and Jairo Ariarte and Bryce Wilson, they're fighting for the 4 and 5 spots, but I think any one of those three would be a really good choice by the White Sox. And Will Venable, when we asked him the other day, you know, kind of played middle of the road and said they're still, you know, they're still looking at that. There's some choices, but they're still looking at who it'll be. But I think all three would be good candidates.
And it sounds like we got some optimism from Chris Getz regarding Drew Thorpe, because obviously he was dealing with the elbow injury that he suffered at the end of last year. But it sounds like, even though he had a bit of a setback, it sounds like things are moving in the right direction.
Well, I talked to Drew on Thursday of this week, and he was in good spirits. You know, he's not throwing off a mound yet. he's which is a big, you know, step back. You got to get that mound work in. So I would be really stunned if he breaks camp with the team. And what he told me, and I think this is smart, and this is, you know, what organizations do too, is he said he'd rather miss a week or two in March and April than having to, you know, rush back and deal with this the entire year and missing time in the middle of the season, missing time at the end of the season. Now, there's no guarantee, even if he misses it 2 weeks, that won't happen. But I think they're being very cautious. So he told me he's supposed to throw up a mound at some point next week if all goes well the rest of this week. He did say, which is good, you know, he surprised all of us, including myself, when he said at Sox Fest Live that Friday that, you know, he had had some setbacks during the offseason in terms of soreness, which I guess does come with the surgery he had last year to shave down the bone spur in his right elbow that ended his season, I think, September 7th.
Mm-hmm.
But he said since he got a cortisone shot that Friday, he has had no pain at all throwing the ball. So it is operating, moving in the right direction. You just got to, you know, it's so hard to gauge these things. Sometimes, you know, a GM or a manager or a pitcher or a player will say, I'll be back at this date, and it'll be 3 weeks after that date. Sometimes, like we saw with Robert and Jimenez last year, it'll be a little earlier. So, you know, you just got to kind of let it play out. But it's certainly not, it seems far from dire. And the same with Brian Ramos, who is dealing with the elbow soreness that's limiting to hit him right now. He does not seem real worried about that either.
It seems like, Scott, if you could look at the White Sox and say, okay, something that they've cornered the market on in baseball over the last 20 years, it might be their ability to identify the next great left-handed starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we've seen it here. We saw it with Garrett Crochet. We saw it with Chris Sale. We saw it with the man who's going to be honored with a statue at Wrigley Field later this year on July 11th with Mark Burley. They've got a couple guys who you're getting a bit of a sneak.
Carlos Rodon in there too,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. See, so they know what they're doing when it comes to left-handed pitchers, and they've got Noah Schultz, 6'10", and they've got Hagen Smith, their top pick last year in camp. What are your initial thoughts from both those guys?
Well, I thought Smith was an interesting pick last year because we know that, you know, they're ahead overall, at least what people outside the organization and even what some in the organization say in pitching prospects. So I thought maybe they'd go offense at five, but they went for the best guy, and that's Hagen Smith, who, you know, some said coming out of college last year, he was at Arkansas, I believe, right, if I remember right?
Yep.
And he, you know, wasn't too far off from being big league ready at that point. So you may have Noah Schultz. It may be a new question to ask next spring training in terms of opening day starter, but it may be Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith in that mix too, you know. So, I mean, you know, very dynamic young guys. I think they're handling it well, not getting too far ahead of themselves. I talked to Noah the first day that the clubhouse was open to media, which was the 12th, asked him about, you know, what he thinks about people talking about him as an ace, and he kind of smiled and said, it's good to hear, but he's got a lot of work to do, and he's got to execute and got to get things done. So none of these guys are taking in their press clippings or their rankings too much, but, man, I mean, it's good to have the top two. It's better to have the top two pitching prospects, left-handed-wise, in baseball according to MLB pipeline than not having them, right? So, I mean, it's a good nucleus in terms of pitching-wise to build around with those two guys.
Certainly no doubt about it. Again, Scott Merkin, you can follow him on X at Scott Merkin, M-E-R-K-I-N. And, of course, click on the links to those articles and read them. That's how Scotty gets paid. He would appreciate that. Give him a follow. As always, Scott, appreciate the insights live from spring training at Camelback Ranch. Thanks for joining me. I'm sure we'll talk later in the year, man.
Sounds great. Good talking to you.
Scott Merkin, again, of MLB.com. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
There it is. Love that sound. This week in baseball, we're going to do this from now on White Sox Weekly, a look around the league in our last segment here as we just catch you up on what's going on in baseball and, of course, a little homage to a TV show that I grew up watching, This Week in Baseball, with Mel Allen as your narrator of that classic television show, which caught me up to date on baseball as I was a kid back in the late 80s, early 90s, so I'm going to go ahead and steal it and give you an update on what's going on around baseball. As I mentioned earlier, if you were locked into your football bunker, now that the Super Bowl has come and gone, some of the stuff that you may have missed this past week, Alex Bregman has signed a three-year, $120 million deal with the Red Sox. Of course, he was one of the last big free agents available on the market. So he's getting an AAV of $40 million per year. Now, there's some deferrals in there, but the Boston Red Sox have inked Alex Bregman to a three-year deal. And it sounds like he may actually be playing second base quite a bit because, of course, the Red Sox have Rafael Devers manning the hot corner. So sounds like Bregman might be the second baseman for the Red Sox. A lot of money to spend for a guy who is going to be switching positions. Another big signing, the Padres have signed Nick Pivetta to a four-year, $55 million deal. Wondering if that actually does mean, or if that's signaling that either a Dylan Cease or Michael King trade could be on the horizon. I think that's certainly possible with the Padres signing of Nick Pivetta. Shohei Ohtani is actually eyeing a potential return to the Dodgers rotation in May. Of course, he did not pitch all of last season with that Tommy John surgery that he was recovering from. Actually, he had the internal brace elbow surgery. So obviously, it was a great year for Shohei Ohtani last year. He went 50-50, and this year he expects to be back on the mound again, maybe in May for the Dodgers. Yankees ace Gerrit Cole says that he's in a really good spot ahead of spring ball. Remember last year, he had to miss almost 3 months to begin the season with an elbow injury of his own. How about this one? Angels Anthony Rendon has undergone hip surgery. He's going to miss extended time. Wouldn't be surprised at all if he misses the entire season. Boy, what a disastrous contract he signed, at least for the Angels. Good for Anthony Rendon, but not so much for the Angels. He signed a seven-year, $275 million deal. This is the sixth season, so there'll be one season left. He has only hit 23 home runs during his time as a member of the Angels. That may go down as one of the worst contracts in baseball history when all is said and done. A couple other notes from around baseball. Aaron Boone said that he expects, quote, more class than the Dodgers if the Yankees can win. Speaking of the Yanks, and I don't know if this is class or not, but an interesting nugget from Marcus Stroman. Now, he potentially is on the outs. He right now, I think if you looked at a lot of projections, he would line up as the Yankees' sixth starting pitcher. And so the other day, Marcus Stroman, when he arrived at camp on Friday, was asked, hey, so what do you think about potentially pitching out of the bullpen for the Yankees?
Considering your pedigree, could you handle being a reliever?
I'm a starter.
So right now,
I'm a starter.
You're the sixth starter, so how do you handle that?
See how it plays out. I'm a starter.
You do not want to pitch in the bullpen?
I won't pitch in the bullpen. I'm a starter.
So I think Marcus Stroman has made his position very clear.
I'm a starter.
Yes, he is. Thank you, Eric Ostrowski. We got the band back together. How about that? Eric Ostrowski, one-time White Sox Weekly executive producer, or White Sox Baseball executive producer, now the Bears executive producer, pushing the buttons behind the scenes today, filling in for Brendan Riley. How about this, if you did not see, Kenley Jansen will close yet again. He signed a one-year deal with the Angels for $10 million. And listen, at this point, it's interesting because, at least to me, Kenley Jansen has compiled in his career 447 saves. By inking with the Angels, he clearly has the mindset that he wants to close. While Marcus Stroman is a starter, Kenley Jansen is absolutely a closer.
And,
well, Kenley Jansen is not, and we know that. And Kenley Jansen doesn't even want to be a seventh or eighth inning man. By signing with the Angels, he clearly still wants to close. I'll be curious to see the 37-year-old Jansen, how high he ultimately will climb on the Major League Baseball saves total list when all is said and done. Does he have a Hall of Fame future? I think it's, you know, Cooperstown is certainly a possibility for Kenley Jansen, but you never quite know with the closer position how that's going to play out. So it'll be interesting to see, but he'll likely add quite a few more saves to his total as the Angels closer this year. And then finally, last note here, CeCe Sabathia will enter the Hall of Fame wearing a Yankees cap. Billy Wagner will don an Astros one. And Dick Allen will be wearing a Phillies one. Now, not a surprise, but of course, Dick Allen spent a good deal of time on the South Side, and the White Sox will honor Dick Allen with a bobblehead later this season. Go check out the promotional events on the White Sox page, because you may want to get out for that one. I already looked at the classic Dick Allen bobblehead in the red pinstriped White Sox jersey, with the classic sideburns that Dick Allen donned for so much of his career. So there will be a Dick Allen bobblehead at the rate later this year. If you're a Dick Allen fan, make sure that you make that a priority, along with other stuff that you may want to celebrate. Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider for updates on the 125-year anniversary celebration next season. Get all the latest updates on games, promos, breaking team news, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. All right, that is This Week in Baseball. We'll come back and wrap things up right here on White Sox Weekly, your home of the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000.
We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Sox fans, single game tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on opening day on March 27th. The season's biggest matchups, plus exciting new promotions honoring the 125th anniversary all season long. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit whitesox.com today. I am Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly, ESPN 1000, your home of the Chicago White Sox. Closing up another edition of White Sox Weekly. Thanks, as always, to our executive producer of White Sox Baseball, Brendan Riley, and Eric Ostrowski for producing this week's edition. Now, I wanted to call attention to this because it should come as no surprise whenever you see somebody famous donning a Sox cap, because that is the majesty that is the White Sox hat. It just exudes coolness, and I know that the White Sox did an extensive documentary about the uniforms and the jersey last year. I would highly recommend you check it out if you didn't miss it, if you're a fan, if you're, again, somebody who grew up in the 90s, or maybe you just want to know why the White Sox became kind of so intertwined with the hip-hop culture. It's a great doc. Check it out. I think you can find it on whitesox.com still if you poke around. But it was pretty cool to see Kevin Durant sporting the Sox cap in his postgame press conference earlier this week after becoming just the eighth player in NBA history to score 30,000 points. So, I mean, I thought that's pretty cool. You know, big moment for Kevin Durant in his career, and he's showing out with a Sox cap. It's not the first time I've seen Kevin Durant in a Sox hat, but on that occasion, I thought that was a pretty cool thing to see.
The documentary is called Fitted in Black. You can find it on the Sox site or on YouTube.
Awesome. Thank you for that, Eric, because I knew I watched it last year. I just couldn't remember what it was. But so, yeah, if you're somebody who's interested in the history of the Sox uniforms and how the classic black and white look came to be, it is a great documentary, well worth your time. So check that out, as Eric mentioned, on YouTube. All right, so one last note here, Sox fans. So I said it last week as I was closing out the show. Next week when I do this show, pitchers and catchers will have reported. And obviously, that came to be. Next week at this time, when we do this show, it will not have taken place yet. But on Saturday, February 22nd, the White Sox will be playing exhibition baseball, spring training baseball. The White Sox will open their spring training schedule next Saturday at 2:05, they will be taking on the Cubs. So you get yourself a crosstown classic at Sloan Park. White Sox open up the spring training schedule next Saturday. Baseball is in the air. Baseball players are doing baseball things. You have to love it indeed. All right, that's going to do it for us here on this edition of White Sox Weekly. Don't forget, we'll be back next week. I'm Jeff Meller. Thanks for listening right here on ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
White Sox Weekly.
On Chicago's home for sports.
On the ESPN Chicago app. 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.